Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go!
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can you see it? Did you know?
But the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a back pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice, Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes scores!
Yes, existence, take you to the sun.
First career NHL goal, Quinn Hughes makes it 1-0.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. I won't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted them in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our house.
Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Public display is that what you need?
They slayed the dragon.
Yes, existence.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word, HOCKEYSEASON. That will get you $5 off your order on ZephyrEpic.com, Z-E-P-H-Y-R, Epic, on all platforms. Go check them out, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, all that fun stuff. Go check them out, Zephyr Epic. They also have a retail location.
I drove by it the other day. I went axe throwing the other night, and as I'm going down this industrial area, boom. I was like, I think Zephyr Epic's around here. Then boom, big sign popped right up in front of me. Zephyr Epic, drove right by it.
We'll get
something
to how
on like 80th, I think. Just off of 80th in Surrey.
We'll get to how your axe throwing went in a second, but the best part about Zephyr Epic, Chris, in my opinion, in our opinion, is that they ship free on any order over $50 Canada-wide from
their hometown of Surrey, British Columbia, all the way to Starbuck, Manitoba.
From Surrey to Starbuck, Zephyr Epic ships free on any order over $50. So go check them out.
Singular. Starbuck. Not Starbucks. Starbuck.
Where is Starbuck?
Starbuck is
Manitoba?
In Manitoba.
Wow. Okay, well, Zephyr Epic ships free anywhere in Canada on any order of $50. If you've got needs with the trading cards, the Yu-Gi-Oh cards, the Pokemon cards.
Yu-Gi-Ohs are hot, man. I keep seeing the Yu-Gi-Ohs are hot.
Baseball cards, basketball cards, hockey cards are our favorite. Go check them out, ZephyrEpic.com. We're also delivered to you by the great folks at DoorDash. Use promo code ConvoDD, capital C, capital D's, all one word, ConvoDD. That will get you 25% off and free delivery on your first order with the DoorDash app. Does not get much better than that, folks. My name is David Quadrelli. I'm joined, as always, by the man who built the place. We needed a fan today for the first time since the summer, Chris Faber.
Yep, it's what month? February?
It's February.
We got the fan already out in February here because I got the sun is blaring on me right now. I can feel my neck getting tanned.
We should probably close the blinds.
Yeah, probably. Maybe with the halfway point. We'll see how I feel at this.
There you go.
Start my little pre-summer tan in February. I think we'll be good. We might even be able to, for the first time in a long time, I don't have to, we don't have to bend our schedule for recording around my Sportsnet schedule on Friday. I got nothing on Friday. Nothing to do, so we can record whenever we want. We might get out and do a little golfing.
I was just going to say.
On Friday, as long as the weather holds up. I haven't checked the weather. We'll check with your no-no. He's loaded up on the weather.
He's always ready to go with the weather.
He could tell you if it's going to be sunny in March by now. He could tell you whenever, whatever day you pick a day. Anyways, maybe Friday. It's rare that we don't have to bend around my 5-hour to 6 to sometimes 8-hour Sportsnet shift. So Friday, wide open. We're doing lunch. We're doing golf. We're doing a show. It's going to be good. Maybe even get Harmo for that golfing.
Oh, there you go.
We'll have to see what happens. Friday's going to be a good day. Today's a good day, too.
Every day is a good day when we get to a podcast. So let's do that podcast, Chris.
I spoke on the axe throwing a little bit, and like I was going really hard, throwing these big old axes, and I threw a lot. We were there for like an hour throwing axes, and I'm sore. I got the two spots where you would have your top abs, which I definitely don't have, the spots where you would have the top muscles of the abdomen is sore. Because I think it's almost like a crunch when you're really throwing the axe hard with two hands. Over your head, you're it's like a crunch, right? So, familiar, or a sit up, as some people call it. So, yeah, it's weird. I've been a little sore getting in and out of the car, getting out of bed. I was like, oh, got almost like a mini cramp almost. I got some sore abdomens.
Sore abdomens.
Yeah, that's how I'm doing today.
Wow. Okay.
And I made a turkey the other night. So I got
saw that.
Leftover turkey.
You crushed
which
that.
I love. I got, what do you think about this? I got Parmesan and oregano or something bagels.
Parmesan. Oh, boy.
That's how I have to say it to remember how to spell it. Anyways, I have those bagels at home, and I'm going to make turkey bagels instead of turkey sandwiches. But it's going to be the same premise.
Yeah.
Mayonnaise, touch of mustard.
You got to be careful, though. If you fly too close to the sun.
What are you talking about here?
Well, you might get sick of turkeys if you eat too much turkey because you got all this leftover turkey. If you make turkey sandwiches every day. You're gonna fly too close to the sun and make yourself not like turkey sandwiches anymore.
The bird that we had was a $16 bird. Ooh. Oh, no.
That was a quads voice crack.
Anyways, $16 bird. So it wasn't a lot of meat on the bird there. Okay. So I don't have to worry about that too much.
Okay.
I think I got a good amount to have amount of sandwiches.
Where did you get a $16 turkey?
I don't know. We got at Christmas, I bought a turkey and the girlfriend bought a turkey. So we've had an extra turkey since like the start of December.
Wow, and it was just sitting in the freezer.
Yeah, and then we say, you know, it's a long weekend. Let's have a turkey dinner. So we had the whole fixings, everything.
I still have stuffing because Air Miles. I don't know if I've really talked about this much on the podcast, but I'm a big Air Miles guy.
You've said this on the Patreon, yeah.
I think I have. I collect those Air Miles, and I'm pretty competitive with my couponing. I get the flyer. I circle with my big Sharpie what I'm doing, and then me and the grannies show up early Monday morning, and we're the first ones to get all the deals. So... that's how I do it. But one time they had turkey stuffing.
Yep.
Two for like 89 cents. And you also got 10 bonus miles. So I pounced on that opportunity.
Two for 89 is a great deal.
Oh, yeah. And I made one for Thanksgiving, obviously.
Yeah.
And now I have this other one sitting. Can you make turkey stuffing at any time of year?
Oh, yeah. You can have it with like a chicken dinner, too. Like, it's fine.
That's what I'm thinking, right?
Like, I know it says on the box there's a turkey one and there's a chicken one. It's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no difference between it.
Exactly. I think that's exactly what I'll do. I'll get myself some chicken going and then stuffing. Yeah, you can't go wrong.
Isn't that what you did with your turkey dinner? You just bought a rotisserie chicken?
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, you've done this before. This isn't anything. I don't know why you're asking the question.
Well, I'm asking, can you do it at Thanksgiving? Like, outside of Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah. Well, I did it on Monday.
You did?
On Family Day. And I said, you know what? Maybe this should be a tradition. There's nothing attached to Family Day that's like a, you know, there's not like a turkey like Thanksgiving. There's no presents like Christmas. No chocolate like Valentine's Day. There's nothing.
Just hanging with your stupid family.
Yeah, exactly. Why would, like, I didn't even hang out with my family on Family Day. So I made a turkey instead. I'm changing the whole day. I'm going to change that holiday. It's not going to be family day anymore.
Turkey day.
Second turkey day. Or first turkey day of the year, I guess.
Yeah.
But I, you know, you do these practice turkey dinners. This is my last thing. We'll get to hot in a second. but I made the Pillsbury crescents in the oven.
Oh, nice.
But I forgot about them. So I turned the oven off because I'm like, okay, I'm going to let the heat finish up because sometimes they're a little doughy on the inside. Mm-hmm. So they were perfectly like crisp or like the perfect golden brown, but they were rock hard because I forgot about them until like halfway through the dinner. I'll be honest. I made it through the whole dinner. And then I went to record a podcast with Ryan and Arash on Pucks on Net. I did their show yesterday. And he's like, oh, how's dinner? I was like, good. And I was listing off the things. And I was like, and Pillsbury crescent. Oh, God, I forgot them in the oven. And I just ran like out of the podcast, went over to the oven. And yeah, they were too hard to eat after that. So that's too bad because those things are excellent.
Yeah, I'm familiar. All right. We're nearing the 10-minute mark, which means it's time that we actually have to talk about hockey.
Let's do it. There's actually some good stuff.
We've got a lot to
and
talk
clips.
About.
We got clips today.
We got clips.
I like the clips that
we've
been running.
Producer Faber, ready to go. Even though I technically sit in the producer's chair.
You just make all the errors, though.
What?
Yeah.
No, I hit all the buttons. I make sure everything works.
Somebody's muted sometimes. Harm will go on a 2-minute rant. He's muted the whole time. We got to redo the whole segment.
That's only happened once. And it wasn't for a full 2 minutes,
all right.
In my defense. So we have some clips here, but Vancouver Canucks picking up that win over the Seattle Kraken. Chris, this was a game where the Canucks didn't look exceptional. They didn't look like the score would suggest, right? Like,
really?
No, they really didn't look like they were in the driver's seat the whole time in that game.
I thought they were.
No, they no chance.
I thought that was one of their best like 5-on-5 games they've played.
No.
Really?
No, they didn't play as well as you think. There were still a lot of mistakes. There were still a lot of mistakes. They weren't hard on the forecheck.
They were driving offense, I think, better than I've seen them do maybe all year.
No, that was not their best game of the year.
I think at getting offense going, I think they were excellent at getting scoring chances.
The shots were from distance. A lot of their shots didn't come in from good scoring opportunities.
That they could have had more goals if they would have crashed the goaltender better, because I think what they did, which was nice, was create rebounds. A lot of the shots from distance were different shots from distance. They were the ones that like, create rebounds,
but that doesn't mean anything. Yeah, but it doesn't mean anything when you don't go to the net, and that's what.
But they did go to the net.
Yeah, but a lot of players didn't, and that's what the big problem with this team that we're seeing right now is a lot of guys looking like they're just checked out again. And again, Bo Horvat talked about how it's starting to. The bad habits are creeping back in from the start of the year. They're starting to creep back in for a lot of guys. And man, like, I know he scored a goal, but Bo didn't look great in that game, and he didn't look great in the ones before that either. I've watched this team, and I know the game against Anaheim is the one that's going to get all the scrutiny. I didn't think they played that much better against Seattle. I think they were just playing a much worse team. Like, they didn't play great in the first period of that game. They scored a goal 11 seconds in. Kudos to Tyler Mott. But they kind of took their foot off the gas pedal after that. They didn't play a great, complete game. And that's the biggest thing with this team, Chris, is I don't think we've seen, especially recently, them have a full 60-minute effort.
Yeah.
Like, them finish a game and not have a moment where they just completely take their foot off the gas pedal. We haven't seen that this year. And again, I'm not ready to wave the banner around and say, oh, yeah, like, great, they beat Seattle. They played a poor team that did not play very well. You know, Seattle has a back-to-back. They're playing the Islanders tonight, but they didn't play a very complete game. They didn't play super well. And again, like, that's why you didn't hear post-game. You didn't hear the players say, like, yeah, that's exactly how we got to play. Like, they won. They won the game, but they didn't play exceptionally well.
I thought there was a decent amount of effort in that game. I thought they played a pretty good second and third period. Like, at actually creating offense, it's specifically that, like, I know we'll touch on it in a minute, but like the Mott, Lamico, Highmore line was excellent again.
How many penalties? Sorry to cut you off. How many penalties did they take in the third? I believe it was three in the last 10 minutes.
Okay.
That's not a team. That's not something you do when you're a team that's ready to close out a game and ready to win a game. Again, that game against San Jose comes to mind, right? Like, San Jose isn't a great team. They're not as bad as Seattle, but that game against San Jose comes to mind where they just let a team back in and they hope that Thatcher Demko is going to bail them out. And he didn't in that game against San Jose. He did against Seattle. And again, I know Seattle didn't get crazy opportunities when they had the man advantage and everything. Thatcher Demko was good in that game against Seattle. Not great. He was good.
He didn't have to be good, though, because I thought they actually played pretty good defense. Of like, a lot of the time, the puck was in the Seattle zone. Like, a
yes,
huge amount of
absolutely,
the time.
Absolutely, but the Canucks still gave up odd man rushes. They still gave up prime opportunities when the puck was in their end. Like, Thatcher Demko did have to be good in that game. He did make some five-alarm saves, as he typically has to. But, like, I'm not ready to say that this game against Seattle, if they play that way against 31 or 30 other teams in the league, that they're going to find a similar result. I'm not ready to say that at all. That was not a complete effort. That was not a game that you can hang your hat on. And I don't think anybody in that locker room would tell you that.
I wouldn't call it a statement game, but it was the type of way that you want to see a team play against a team like Seattle. Like, when you know that you're better than a team, you want to be able to get 40 shots on net and yes, create a lot of rebounds and get the puck towards the goaltender who you know, Seattle's goaltending has just been brutal all year long. That's what I think when I think of playing against a weaker team like that. You'd like to see them just look like it was never, you know, I guess the first period you could say that maybe, you know, Seattle looked like the better team in the first period after the first goal. I didn't think they played a good first period at all.
No.
But second period, you saw the pushback that you'd like to see
absolutely
against that team.
Absolutely.
But I do get what you're saying. Like, you said it. I wouldn't hang my hat on that being the effort you want every single night. But I thought it was a good game. They played good against a team that was worse than them. And when you play against teams that are worse than you, you can go out and have that type of effort and still win. And win handedly, a 5-2 victory.
I'm going to try to stop cutting you off. Also, one of those was an empty netter. Keep that in mind.
Still counts.
All I'm saying is that you're right. They scored a goal early, took their foot off the gas. That's not a good first period. Played fine in the second period. Good, even, in the second period. Again, they started the second with a penalty. Keep that in mind. But then in the third period, foot off the gas pedal, open the door for them to come back. If that's a better team they're playing against, they find a way to lose that game. They find a way to at least go to overtime. Exactly what they did in San Jose. That's not a game, and I know you agree with me, that it's not one you can hang your hat on. I'm not ready to even call that like a good victory. That was a win. That is what that was. It was a must-win game. Bruce Boudreau did everything except flat-out say that in the pregame media availability. That was a must-win game for this team. They won it, but they cannot do that effort again in their next game against Calgary, who, by the way, has won 10 straight, and say, oh, we're going to get a similar result. They're going to get blown out if they play the way they did in Seattle. If they do that against Calgary, they're going to get blown out.
It's a good organization there Calgary has. It's going to be a big win streak coming into this one with 10 in a row now.
Everybody thinks you're getting hired by Calgary.
Yeah, I know. Our
just
guy.
Just explaining the joke for those that didn't get it. No, but I mean,
Calgary is going to come in and put a real good test. This is the Black Skate game, right? Thursday is the Black Skate game.
So Black History Month game as well. They're going to come out in those jerseys that were...
Did we talk about this already on the show?
We haven't. We have not.
Did we not with Harm?
Nope.
Last Friday? Man. Dude, I've got people texting me that like aren't even like huge Canucks fans. They just happen to, you know, follow them on Instagram, or, you know, they're not online so much like a lot of people on Twitter are. A lot of people are like, my friends from the island are texting me like, yo, whenever those shirts or jerseys come available, like, let me know because I need to buy them. Like, that look is so, man, like, I'm not going to get one of the jerseys. They're going to end up being, what, like $800, $400 minimum.
Mm-hmm.
But like, this is the first time in a while where I've wanted to like get the shirt or the hoodie or the toque or something. It looks so good. But the jersey looks so good. Like the stick and rink with the colors. Oh my God. Like this is the best looking like ceremony jersey. Is that what you would call it?
Mm-hmm.
Like this is the best looking pregame ceremony jersey I've seen in a long time. This thing looks good, dude.
Yeah. I like it.
And then they roll from that into the Black Skate jersey. Oh,
I know.
Man, bet the house on Thursday. Look good, play good.
Snapping the 10-game win streak. You know, the Canucks do have a history of beating teams that are streaking and then teams that are just like losing and it's an easy game for the Canucks to win. They just don't win. But just to kind of close up the conversation, and yes, that is a nice jersey. I fully agree with you. But
it looks so good.
Just to close up the conversation a bit on this Seattle game, the Canucks still look like a team to me that aren't committed. That aren't committed to putting in a full effort. And I think that's the biggest problem. And I think that's the biggest indication. Like, I don't think last night, because I think Anaheim served as a big opportunity for Canucks ownership, or not so much ownership, but for Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin in particular, to look at this team and say, okay, this isn't a team that we're going to try and, you know, gear up for a playoff push with. And I'm not saying that means they're going to be buyers, but maybe they'd be more timid sellers. And again, they've even talked about, both of these guys have talked about how, yeah, when a team wins the way you do, you don't want to just trade everybody. Like, you want to reward a team that's winning a bunch, right? But I think that game against Anaheim and even that game against Seattle showed that changes need to happen. Like, it's that game against Seattle isn't a game where the Canucks front office goes, this is perfect. Like, our team's great. We don't need to make any changes. Like, no, I think that game actually highlighted a lot of their issues.
I think they're on the opposite side of what, like, what you just said. Like, they're not at the point of like, oh, maybe we should think about playoffs here. I think they're at the point of just waiting for like that one specific loss. Like, they're giving them a chance right now because there is still a chance to get into the playoffs. Yep. But they're waiting for that time when you see
I think
three losses in a row like ruins the season for the Canucks.
I don't even think it's at that point. I think Anaheim was the big kickstarter, like losing that game and just an absolute lifeless attempt for the first period and a half.
It's almost like when Rutherford took over, like they had like an amount of lives, like you're playing Mario, like you have like nine lives. Like
show me what you're made of.
And I think at this point, this is what I'm saying. Like, I think they're at it's like two lives left, maybe one life left at this point.
Exactly, and that's what I was gonna say, because you just said three. I don't think it's three. I think it's if they lose this game against Calgary, I think you give them that because Calgary's winning 110 straight. But if it goes far beyond that, or even another game after that, that's it.
Yeah, like, and without a winning streak, it basically is like that's like two or three losses in a row is the end.
And that's not even us being negative. That's just us being realistic.
And I think it could be positive if they end up doing things the right way here. To play. Like, the deadline's a month away. You can't wait for the next.
Totally.
Like, you can't wait for them to go on another 12-4-1 stretch over this time, because literally you don't have time. Like, you don't have time if you're actually going to make decisions before the deadline. Unfortunately, they haven't played well. Like, they've played really good. They've won a lot of games. They've been in a rate where they could make the playoffs. This is how they played with Boudreau all season long, but they didn't have Boudreau all season long.
Yeah.
They had a bad record in the first 25 games. So this record over the past 26 is it now? Like, it doesn't matter as much, because unfortunately they had to be unreal. They had to be playing at a ridiculous rate, and the past few weeks here just hasn't been at the rate like it started with Boudreau. So yeah, they've run out of time, unfortunately. Like, to steal a line from Jim Benning, they have at the point where they just need to win out. Like, like I said, they can't look for like a 12-4-1 record. They now have to go like 7-0. And just do that. If you want to talk about the playoffs, they basically have to do like a 7 or 8 game win streak over and before the trade deadline here. That's what they need to talk about playoffs seriously.
You know what we should talk about? Juho Lamico, baby. What are we calling that line? Hold on,
before the jersey, I had to pull up the artist's name who made it, who is the clothing brand Sleepless Minds, and Jason Bempong is the guy who made the jersey. So, just want to give him a shout. That, I just tell you, man, that is...
It's a nice jersey.
I love the jersey.
Yeah. Okay, we need to talk about Juho Lamico's line. Juho Lamico, looking like Wayne Gretzky out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Number 99, Juho Lamico, playing exceptionally well in these past few games. So is Elias Pettersson. We'll talk about him. We've got some clips about that. But first, the Motley Crue line, I think that's what they've been dubbed. I think Wyatt gets to pick what they're called.
Here's what I think, and this is how I think it's going to go down. There's not a good nickname out there. I haven't seen one where I've been like, that's the one. I haven't seen one nickname. It's going to be up to Boudreau. Somebody's going to have to ask Boudreau, or like, he's going to mention something about that line, and that's going to be what it is. Because no one has thought of a good one yet. I'm sorry. I was at 650 today in the text line. That was like one of the questions, and we had probably 50 people texting in. Not one of them was good enough to be like an actual line thing.
You know what I call it?
What's that?
Bruce Boudreau's favorite line.
That's probably not. Well, that's not even a nickname.
That's true. It's just the truth. It is Bruce Boudreau's favorite line. That line has been playing exceptionally well at 5-on-5. And Boudreau said,
"Can I run you something too? Listen, yeah, they're great at 5-on-5. You know what they're so good at? When the Canucks are trailing. Have you seen the numbers of that line when they're trailing?
Yeah,
80% control of the shot share, which is ridiculous. 80% of the shots that are happening when they're trailing and on the ice." Are going to that line and going to the Vancouver Canucks. And on top of that, they've scored 5 goals and allowed 0 against when they're trailing. This is like the comeback line. Like, this is the line that you're putting out there when you're down by 1 and need a goal, which is so wild that like, this is the line that, you know, I think of it. Like, I think one of the names that I haven't hated was like the Jim Benning trade tree. Like, to see, you know, that it was Jim Benning's trades that have made this fourth line come together. All of trades that nobody was excited for. You moved on from Adam Gaudette, who looked like he had offensive potential, and now you have Highmore. You moved on from Ojulevi, who, you know, was a 5th overall pick. And not like anyone was really expecting a lot from Lamico. Heck, I mean, Juleson was the guy that people were kind of excited about in that trade. And then you look at the last guy in Tyler Motta, who was moved for Thomas Vanek, who, you know, Tommy Gunn, I would have liked him to finish out the season almost. He was a lot of fun with those breakaway slap shots. But it seems like all these Jim Benning trades, maybe these people saying Jim Benning was playing 5D chess, maybe they're onto something, Quads.
Yeah, it only took him 8 years and a fifth overall pick to throw together a bottom six line that doesn't cost like $8 million. Thank you, Jim. Wait, we have a button for that.
Yeah, we do.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Absolutely. Never forget to always keep it.
Very tongue-in-cheek, by the way, with my answer there.
Yeah, I can tell.
Let's not name this the trade line.
The 5D chess.
Yeah. Jim Benning's 5D chess, fourth line.
We've got some clips.
The episode.
Yeah, we've got some clips here.
Before we get to Pettersson.
Sure.
We got a little time here before the commercial break?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Bo Horvat. Because now all of a sudden, listen, I get my email from Rogers every week. And this week, they want us to talk about trading Bo Horvat. Because that's what I saw a little bit online.
Orders.
All the text. And you know what? Some people are thinking like, oh, it's ridiculous. Why would you even talk about that? You should see the text lines coming in. You saw it on Saturday. How many people texted into our show on Saturday?
Yeah, saying, why aren't you talking about trading Horvat?
Yeah, and we're like, we did. We talked about it in the first segment because somebody brought it up. And then everybody now is texting in. It's the most common text that you're seeing. If you put them all into different folders on what the texts are about, right now, the text line, the fan base, is the pulse of the fan base, they're asking about trading Horvat.
I got to say, just to answer the question of why aren't you guys talking about trading Horvat, like, we don't just pull names out of a hat usually and say, they should trade this guy, especially when we know it's somebody that the organization right now views as untouchable. Like, yeah. He's the captain of this team. They're not going to trade him right now.
If you ask the top four untouchables,
exactly.
He's number four.
Exactly. And that's why we don't talk about trading Elias Pettersson. That's why we don't talk about trading Quinn Hughes. That's why we don't talk about trading Thatcher Demko. Like, sure, maybe once in a while we could throw out an idea like that, but the reason that people are like, stop talking about Miller getting traded, stop talking about Mott, stop talking about Garland. These are the guys that the Canucks are not shopping, but these are the guys that teams are calling about and the Canucks are taking calls on and they're listening to. These are the guys that are most likely to get traded, so of course we're going to talk about them.
I don't understand the people that want to trade Bo Horvat either. Like, I'm with you in the camp of I don't think they're trading their captain. Even with a new management regime and, like, all the situations to set itself up for a captain to, like, be okay to free themselves of an organization, I don't think they want to trade Horvat at all. And I don't think they should either. This guy was the best player on the team when they went on that playoff run. Do we not forget that Bo Horvat had 10 goals in 17 games? In that playoff run and like single-handedly, how much did we talk about on the last show about guys being MVP and single-handedly winning games? Was Bo Horvat the playoff MVP? Like, I mean, you know, if you look at the stat line, Demko was great. Markstrom was also excellent. But as a for players,
skaters,
10 goals in 17 games, Horvat had a couple of multiple goal games for him.
Mm-hmm.
He was excellent. And also 59% in the faceoff dot in the playoffs that year. Against some really good, you know, matchups in the faceoff dot as he went head-to-head against Ryan O'Reilly, won that matchup. Like, man, I don't know. Bo Horvat's not the guy that I would want to move on from. And maybe his stat line and people are mad that he's not, you know, a 60-point guy. And that's not what he's all about. He doesn't score at a second-line rate. But look at what he does in playoff situations and big situations. Like, look at his, like, in the OHL. Even like when he was in big moments, he was the guy scoring the goals. It wasn't, you know, when he was playing with all these skilled players there with the London Knights. It was Bo Horvat that was like leading that team in playoff moments and scoring in big goals. And like, I don't know, we haven't been able to see enough of Bo Horvat in the playoffs to think that he's the guy that you want to move on from. Like at the start of the year, how many people were talking about Bo Horvat being just on the outside of Team Canada? You know how hard that is to be a center and make Team Canada, and he was on the outside looking in. I know that he's not like a 1C, but man, I have all the time in the world for Bo Horvat to be your second line center on any team. And I'll like, I know that's some people are like, oh, but look, this team has, you know, they have Malkin and Sidney Crosby. He's not going to be a 2C there. Yeah, he would. They would move around something in that group. They would move Malkin to the wing or something to play with Bo Horvat at center because he's that good of like a pure center. And I think there are aspects of his game that aren't like the best in the league. He's not the best defensive guy, but I just think Bo Horvat is going to give you everything on shifts. And I know he's had a bad couple of weeks and everyone wants to trade him now because he hasn't been scoring, but it's, I don't know. Hockey's a streaky sport. I'm not in any camp, even close to any camp of moving Bo Horvat. And he's on a good, he's going to be on another good contract. He's not getting over $7 million on his next contract.
Yeah, and he's the kind of guy that would take a hometown discount to stay in Vancouver.
Exactly.
Right? Like, people are like, oh, maybe JT Miller will take a hometown discount. It's like, are you out to lunch or what? Like,
I mean,
are,
I don't even know if JT Miller's taking an overpriced contract to stay in Vancouver.
Yeah.
He's got free agency ahead of him, dude.
Yep.
He's going to be looking at that free agency as a point per game player who can play with anyone up and down a lineup. He can say that to every, you know, any team that's going at him in free agency. He's like, listen, look at how many different line mates I had in Vancouver, and I still scored at this rate. Like, JT Miller's going to just cash in. There's a world where JT Miller hits $10 million a year in free agency.
I don't want to live in that world if I'm the team.
If Buffalo gets involved, they're giving him $10 million a year.
You might be right, actually. We'll cut to break. On the other side, we've got a lot to talk about. We still haven't talked about Elias Pettersson much. We'll talk about that.
Clips.
We got clips. We're going to talk about Jason Dickinson. And we're going to close out today with a little thing on Dan Hamhuis. Speaking of guys with no movement clauses and the trade deadline, we're going to talk about Dan Hamhuis.
You got a prospects report, eh? You watched
And I've got a prospects report. So keep it locked, keep it loaded on Canucks Conversation.
And before we go any further into the episode, want to give a shout out to Parallel 49 Brewing. You guys can find Parallel 49 beer all across BC and Alberta. And right now we want to give a quick shout out to the Unparalleled Pack featuring four of the P49 favorites, the Trash Panda, the Filthy Dirty, the Jerkface 9000, and the Hillbilly Ninja. My favorite of the four there, the Jerkface 9000, the pink can. Something good about those cans there, Parallel 49. So go out and try them. You can find them in most liquor stores across BC and Alberta.
And a massive thank you to our sponsor, Parallel 49 Brewing Company. We've got a sponsor coming on very shortly. Poll questions coming again. We're very excited. If you want to advertise with us, folks, shoot us a message at Canucks Convo, or both of us have our Twitter accounts open. The DMs are open, so go shoot us a message there.
Are the DMs on Canucks Convo, they got to be open too, right?
Oh, yeah, okay. Absolutely.
I never check.
I went through the Canucks Army DMs recently.
And?
Absolute tire fire. Mm. Yeah.
Worse than the comments?
No.
Somebody asked that the other day. What's worse, the Canucks Army comments or the 650 inbox? And it is by far neither. It's the Facebook comments on the Canucks Army account are ridiculous.
Those are the bad ones. Trade Demko, he sucks.
Yeah.
Those are some hot takes from the Sunglass Uncles.
Oh, yeah. The Sunglass Uncles are rolling. Anyways. What do you want to talk about here?
Elias Pettersson is back, folks. That is what you're hearing. We heard it earlier. And remember, I said, and you said this too, Chris, but we kind of warned people not to be too quick to say Elias Pettersson's back. I think it's safe to say now. I think it's safe to say that he's back. I couple this with the fact that he's got 17 points in his last 15. I think it's 10 points in his last five games. And remember, through the first 37 games of the season, he had 17 points. So he's matched that point total in the past 15 games. Couple that with just how confident he looks away from the puck and with the puck on his stick, along with him saying post-game yesterday that he still had his wrist taped up, which we found interesting because he told you specifically that he was 100% healed at the start of the season.
Yeah, and then on top of what you just said there, also not playing with the same line mates throughout those 15 games. Like, there's a lot of things that are holding Pettersson back still. And I mean, like, once he finds that groove, which I think he's getting very close to, you know, being over a point per game is a great little spot to be in, but it's not the step that maybe people were hoping for yet either. I don't think we're at that point yet.
Yeah.
He's not better than he was before he hurt his wrist last year.
You're right.
That's what you want to see.
Yeah. You want to see progression.
Once you see the progression of what he was doing before he got injured last year, I think that's when I'm going to be excited. But you want to run the clip about Pettersson talking about finally feeling healthy and kind of maybe getting in trouble a little bit talking about that wrist.
It definitely played a part of it. Coming into the season, it was a little weird. I still had my wrist taped. I feel like that's going to cause a lot of headlines, Definitely, I mean, I'd played 26 games last year. Didn't play a game for, I don't know, 8 months or something. So it definitely was a slow start for me. I mean, it took me way longer than I wanted it this season. But I feel now, in the last couple of weeks, I've played like myself again.
And he has, right? You know, like he has. There's been a lot of things where he's been playing like himself. But like I said, I think there's still room for him to grow, obviously. Like, you want to see him not just get to the plateau that he's hit in his career, but I think at the age that he's at and what you expect from him, you like to see him continue to grow. So I'm excited for him to burst through that ceiling that he's set for himself so far and see what that Pettersson is like. Because yeah. Right now he's getting close to that plateau that he's hit in the past, and he's over a point per game in his last 15. That's great, but he's done that before in his career. I want to see what he can do at the next level, see what the next step up for Pettersson is. I want him to get there.
Exactly, and that's what you should be wanting, right? He set lofty expectations for himself, but that's what you want to see from your franchise number one center, which is what this club hopes that they have in him.
Yeah. You want to do the Boudreaux clip now? Hear what Boudreaux had to Absolutely. Say about Pettersson never complaining.
No, because I just took over in December. I mean, and he was struggling. I think his confidence was really, really low when I took over. And he's never complained on putting him on different lines. He'd like to play 25 minutes a night, but, I mean, sometimes it doesn't work out. But, I mean, as long as he continues to do what he does and make great plays and gets his shot away, I mean, I'll be pretty happy.
That's what I find interesting is, like, so when he's playing with Nils Höglander and he's playing with Vasily Podkolzin, there's so much potential there. I love the potential there. But those guys aren't going to play 20 minutes a game. How do you, aside from power play one, get Pettersson up to 21 minutes a game? Because that's where I think you want to see him, right? You want to see him at like 21 minutes a game. He's not going to get the matchups and probably even play as many minutes as like JT Miller or even potentially Bo Horvat. But he still is your best scorer when he's on. Like when he is, when all the Canucks are playing at 100% of their potential, I do still think that Elias Pettersson's the best. Like, I think he's better than Quinn Hughes. When they're both playing at 100%, Pettersson, I think, is the better player. It's just with Quinn Hughes, you get so many games where Hughes is playing at like
98%. You
know, yeah, like he's always at like 90 to 95% of his potential is.
He's steady.
He's steadily unreal and like good all the time. Hughes is always good. With Pettersson, it's just like you get some games where it's like, this is only about 60% of what we can see from him. This one's only about 80%. This one's down to 50 again. And it's like, man, it's going to be incredible to see when he figures out what he can do to be able to be as consistent as what Quinn Hughes does. Like, you don't have to be 100% every game, but like Quinn Hughes does so well, if Pettersson can find like that sweet spot where he's playing 80 to 95% of his potential every game, like that's when the conversation comes back of, can this guy be a guy who's in the conversation for the Hart every year? Can he lead the league in points one year? That's fallen off in the past, you know, however many months now. I guess it's close to about 12 months now since the injury even happened. So, yeah, he's taken steps in the right direction, but I think there's still quite a few more steps to take for Pettersson. Like, I'm not in the camp of being like, he's back, man. He's back. This is Petey. 10 goals in 10 games like he did in his first in the NHL when he bursts on a scene. Like, no, he's taken steps in the right direction. It's really exciting to see, but... Mm-hmm. Not quite there yet.
Yeah, and I think the reluctance to say he's back that you're showing is what I showed earlier in the year, not in this episode. In this episode, I think I yelled, he's back, into the mic. So he's back. But
you think he's back,
yeah. I think he's back. I think he's very...
You think we see the lotto line anytime soon? Like, when does Pettersson get to play with, like, the best two wingers?
When Brock Besser starts playing better. Brock Besser.
But that's what you say. Maybe that's what's going to happen because he's not playing great. It's time to go back to Pettersson.
Yeah, because now you're looking at Pettersson as somebody who can actually, you know, make his line mates better, yeah. Right?
He's and interesting how Boudreaux said it the other day. Like, he likes playing Pettersson because, like, his best friends off the ice are Podkolzin and Höglander.
He was asked about that. Pettersson was asked about that. Yeah. And he flat out said, he's like, Höglander's the guy I spend the most time away from the rink with now. Like he said, now.
Are we unveiling some drama in the locker room?
No, I literally literally think it just comes down to Brock Besser has a girlfriend and he's a little bit busier now.
Oh, are you reporting this?
What, that Brock Besser has a girlfriend?
Yeah, I didn't know this.
I think it's pretty common knowledge that Brock Besser has a girlfriend.
Interesting. So there's a little bit of, this sounds like some of these, I've been watching this Euphoria show, this is some teenage drama in the Canucks locker room.
I don't think there's any drama at all. I literally think it's just that Nils Höglander is another single Swedish guy that works at the same place as Pettersson.
But I find it interesting that Podkolzin is a married man. And he still has enough time to hang out with Pettersson, but Brock Besser...
Not as much as Höglander. Not as much as Hoglander.
But Bruce said, now, geez, now it's a play, then, game of telephone here.
Bruce, does Brock Besser have a girlfriend? Have you met her?
I haven't been in person with Bruce Boudreau. Yeah, I'm just going to show him. He's like, who's this big guy asking about all the relationships on the team?
Bruce, what WWE storyline can you equate the locker room drama to right now?
Yeah.
There's anyways. No locker room drama, as far as we know. We're not out here reporting anything insane. I think I literally am just assuming that Brock Besser has a little bit less time on his hands than he did in their rookie years.
And it's turning into what's happening on the ice with the slump here.
Oh my gosh. Ridiculous. Drama. You're turning us into the TMZ of Canucks
this
is media.
I got hooked on this Euphoria show here. Have you seen this Euphoria?
No, you watch Euphoria?
Yep.
Really?
Well, I've only seen every second episode, so I don't really know what's going on. But I think I've seen the last two, and I'll
what
see
is
the
this
final.
Show?
I've missed like two or three episodes of the seven, but
we've gone so off the rails. You know what, though? I must say, I'm pretty sure I learned that Brock Besser's a girlfriend from listening to the broadcast.
Interesting.
So there you go.
Okay.
Okay, let's get back to some hockey here. Please. Jason Dickinson. There was an article today on CanucksArmy.com, written by Lachlan Irvin, about Jason Dickinson and his struggles. And folks, it has been bad. I know the eye test may suggest at times that Dickinson is playing okay on his own end of the ice. Our very own Harmon Dial gave the comparison to 2019-20 Louis Erickson, where he's just skating out there, and you know he's not going to make any defensive mistakes, and you know he's going to play decently well in the defensive end of the ice and just not be able to create much offense. Folks, it's been worse than that. You go read that article by Lachlan Irvin up now on CanucksArmy.com. There's a graph in there that really shows you just how bad Dickinson has been at both ends of the ice. Like, it's been all bad for Jason Dickinson this season. And again, last year, did not create a lot of offense as a member of the Dallas Stars, but was exceptional in his own end on the defensive end of the ice. And that's what the Canucks thought they were getting, with the potential to be a little better offensively. Has not been that this year. Has been atrocious in the faceoff dot. Has been taken off of the third line center role at multiple times. I can't even count how many times he started.
Well, he's not even anymore. Like, that fourth line has become the third line. He's a fourth line. Well, he got a chance to play with Horvat the other day, and wow, did he look out of place.
Oh my gosh. It's so bad, because he's such a nice guy. We were talking about this in the press box the other day. He's so nice.
You know what? And he's also, like, he knows that, like, I remember the last time we were in person talking to him, his quote was like, I have been atrocious in the faceoff. Like, he knows that he's not performing.
Yeah, he doesn't try to put lipstick on a pig and say like, no, I think I've been doing this and this well. Like, no, he knows it's been and he hasn't said it's been a bad fit, but he knows he's not playing well. And this isn't a bad hockey player, folks. Like, he's playing bad right now.
He was on a shutdown line as a winger. He was on the shutdown line that went to the Stanley Cup final.
Exactly.
He was on the line playing in a shutdown role. I don't know. I think that there's still value if another team's looking for that type of player. He's not a player who's played himself out of being known that around the league yet.
Yeah.
But he's sure not helping himself either.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is like, you just kind of look at it and it increasingly.
You think there's a chance for him to
like
bounce back, or is this like the thing where you just, what happened to Louis Erickson, where he just fell into a pit and could never get out? Like, is there a chance for Dickinson to get out?
I actually wasn't going to compare it to the Erickson situation. I was going to compare it to Braden Holtby and Nate Schmidt, where you play one season with the team and you just ask for a trade at the end of the year. And sorry, I should clarify, Holtby never asked for a trade. Right. So
he didn't get one either. He got bought out.
Exactly. So I should clarify. I should be more careful with my words there. But Jason Dickinson, it's looking to me like that's the most likely scenario, is it's just, it does not work out in Vancouver for this
It's funny because it could be the exact same thing as like another third. What, they traded a third to get him?
Yeah.
Traded a third to get Nate Schmidt. They
We're
got
not
a third
getting
back.
A third for Jason Dickinson right now.
You don't
now.
Think so?
No way a team's giving up a third round pick for Dickinson in his current state. No chance. Like, the Canucks traded a third when they thought he was going to be a third line center for them. Like, an everyday third line
What did
line
they
center.
Trade for Nate Schmidt, though, when they got him? Like, was Nate
a third round pick.
Was he always, well, I guess he was always
still
a
top
four.
They thought they were
four.
Getting a 2-3 defenseman, right? And then he played like a 3-4 in that season. And there was a hope from Winnipeg that he would bounce back.
Call up Winnipeg, swap him for Nate Schmidt, bring him back. Get him playing under the Boudreau system.
Yeah, you know what? He would do better under Boudreau than he did under Travis.
Yeah. Sorry, now I just think I've been watching this other show, Love is Blind. And now this guy, I forget his name, but he looks like Nate Schmidt too. Anybody else who's listening to this, they know. Now that I see Nate Schmidt's face in my mind here. Looks like this guy off Love is Blind. I'm not good with names, though. Anyways, y'all know who I'm talking about.
Good stuff, Chris. So
four to ten people know what I'm talking about.
Okay, while you pull up the Sakaris and Price clip, I'm going to give my prospects report, and then we'll close out with some Dan Hamhuis talk. I'm giving a prospects report. That's right. I'm the prospects guy now, folks. Oh,
man. I watched the whole game today. I watched all of Forsell's game today.
Yeah, me too. I'm going over this right now. I'm just pulling up some stats because I gave a tweet about Lucas Forsell today.
Yeah, that's a joke.
I tweeted
you
out.
You got likes on that tweet.
I got more likes than you. I think you I got about 100 more likes.
And you didn't even tweet out the video.
I didn't need the video.
What the hell?
Yep. So
people don't like GIFs anymore. They got smallest attention span in the world now.
Yep, exactly. You put some shiny emojis and people are hooked. So that's what I've been doing. And I must say, for those that don't understand what's going on right now, when Chris was away from Twitter, he was sending me texts, like full on tweets, like formatted and everything. And he was just saying, copy and paste this. And they were prospect updates. First, it was the Jack Rathbone game, which I was not watching. I was watching Netflix tweeting updates about it because you were texting them to me. And then it was Lucas Forsell. So that's when people caught on that, okay, Faber is tweeting through quads right now, and that's exactly what was happening. I kind of liked it. I got more followers. I got a lot of engagement. So I decided that whenever you tweet a prospect update, I'm just going to tweet it louder. I'm going to copy and paste it and then capitalize some words, add a few more emojis, and it worked today. Got more likes than you. Got more likes. Got a lot of followers. It was great.
Forsell looked really good today.
Yes, he did. He's on a three-game goal streak in the SHL. And remember, folks, if this guy, and this is actually not even me doing a bit, this is actually me talking about this player.
Okay.
Because believe it or not, I do know a little bit about the Canucks prospects. Like, this is a guy that was taken in the seventh round, but if he was born like a month or two later, third round pick.
10 days. 10 days later.
10 days later. Third round pick, because he would have been eligible for this year's draft, not last year. So that was a good pick by the Canucks at the time it was made, and it's proving dividends right now.
He's now playing on the second power play unit. And looked excellent. I thought he had a second goal today because he was at the high screen on a shot where it looked like it could have caught his stick, but it just basically was him screening the goaltender, making a great job to tie the game 3-3. That second power play unit scored two goals today with Forsell on it. And it's not like, I don't know, it's weird because like I've been watching prospects for a while now, and for a long time you don't, like even watching Nils Höglander in his second year in the SHL, he didn't get like power play time. He was just like a fourth line guy who like wasn't getting a lot of minutes. And this would have been, he would have been a year older than Forsell is right now. But Forsell's getting the chance now as like a real raw 18-year-old, like recently turned 18-year-old at the end of last year. And he's getting an opportunity to like play in the top six at times. Right now he's kind of rocking on the third line for the last couple of games, but he scored in three straight games. He got 4 points in his last three. And he's getting that power play time. Like, you didn't see that in the draft plus 1 year for guys like Nils Höglander or Vasily Podkolzin. And like, listen, I'm not saying that Forsell is going to be at that level, but you have to imagine that the stock is rising with this guy. Like, it really is. Like, the stock is rising harder on him than it is on McDonough right now. And yeah. McDonough's obviously way closer to the NHL because Forsell's got that 2 year extension in the SHL. So he literally will not be coming over for at least two more years, but you know, to set himself up and even like have this little three game stretch, I don't want to say that's like enough to secure him a job, but like he's doing it at 18. So he is going to get a full-time job next year. And then he's probably playing on like, you know, the first line 2 years from now in the SHL, if he continues to grow. So like really exciting stuff, really exciting stuff.
Yeah. And just close up my prospects report. Linus Karlsson as well, prospect we haven't heard a lot about, but 19th goal of the year today. He's having a great season, making the jump from the Allsvenskan, which is the
there you go,
the other pro league in, it's like one below the SHL.
Yeah,
the Allsvenskan made the jump from there to the SHL again.
Do you know the third league in Sweden?
No, I
don't. You do. You've heard the word before. If I say it, you know.
Oh, okay, say it.
Hockey Etan.
Oh, I knew that.
I knew you knew it.
Oh, that bothers me.
That's the third league.
Yeah, and as the prospect guy, I should know that.
Okay.
Anyways, Karlsson, 19th goal of the year. What do they have in this prospect? And in all seriousness, this is your prospect report. So what do they actually have in this player?
Yeah, man, I tell you, the more you see of like Karlsson goals, you're like, wow, he's got that. That it just it feels like that when you see a player that like has that snap that looks like an NHL shot. He's got that snap behind his stick. Like he's got a quick release, and the quick release gets a shot that looks like it's an NHL quality shot. There are times in the SHL where the goaltenders are obviously much worse than NHLers. And I just think that Carlson's going to have to reprove, like he's proving himself in a great way this year in the SHL. He is looking like the type of player who should have been in the SHL last year and getting an opportunity, but because of his club now getting promoted up, like there's a reason why he was so good in Allsvenskan. It's probably because he could have played in the SHL last year, but this year he's proven that he could do it. The funny thing is, like, he's likely to come over to the AHL next year. I got to check on his contract before I say this, but like if his contract is up at the end of this year, which it very possibly is, like they don't sign 5-6 year deals in the SHL, exactly. Especially a guy like him who wants to come over here. I'm assuming, let me double check on this and get back to it about Carlson's contract. But if he's coming to the AHL at the end of this SHL season or next year, he's going to have to prove himself all over again that he can do it in the AHL. Because I think the AHL is a better league than the SHL. I like watching the SHL more. It's better hockey in the SHL.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say it's a different league, right?
Right. But like this, just the overall level of skill that you'll see in the AHL, I think will be better. So he's going to have to prove himself all over again. And then when he does that in the AHL, it's like, you know what? That's the last spot where he like needs to prove himself, really. Because he'll get an opportunity if he proves that he can do it in the AHL. He'll get an opportunity in the NHL.
Absolutely.
Let me get one more in here.
Okay.
Okay. Lucas Jašek, right? He leaves the team.
Not a prospect anymore.
Yes, he is. He leaves the team. He goes to Liga for a year. He only signed a one-year deal. Okay, so I don't know what the story is behind him getting back there, but Rutherford's talked about like European free agents and look for NCAA free agents. The Canucks have two that I really think, like they already are under their umbrella of prospects, team control. They don't even like these are two of the this is one of the top players in Liga. If you want to go that way, he's third in scoring right now. Lucas Jašek should 100% come back and play in the AHL next year. As long as there's not like a bridge that was really burned between the AHL team or basically the whole Canucks organization. And maybe it was strange that Jašek didn't get an opportunity to come up and play in the NHL. Like, remember how much I was screaming for Jašek to come play at the end of that season where it really didn't matter who was playing. We were playing meaningless games against the Calgary Flames when the playoffs were going on. Why isn't Lucas Jašek in the lineup for that game?
Because Travis Green's trying to coach for a job.
Sure. But, and you know what? Maybe that's what pissed him off about the organization. That's the only reason why I would, like, why would he leave? He was having a great year playing first line in the AHL as a center, like learning a new position, looked great. Trent Cole seemed to really like him. He used him on the power play, used him on the penalty kill. Like, it's a strange situation that sent him back to the league. I don't know if it was personal. Like, it doesn't make sense. But to me, like, that is an example of a European free agent that Jim Rutherford has talked about that they want to explore. It's a slam dunk. They have two guys, like I said, that they already have the rights to sign. It should be Jašek. It should be Aiden McDonough. You get a college guy, you get a European guy. They should 100% sign both of those players. I hope that Lucas Jašek is at least playing like first line center in the AHL next year. He's a big boost to an AHL team, and I do think that there's a chance he could even get back to the NHL. It's such a strange story with Jašek, but you probably know more about him anyways.
Of course. And to close out my prospects report, you know who's leading the Liga in scoring right now?
I do know, but you can say it.
Petrus Palmu.
There you go.
The little engine that could.
I got a little bowling ball.
A little bowling ball.
Still a good follow on Instagram. Catches a lot of fish. He's captain of his team, too, Petrus Palmu. I was a big fan of him when he was just a lot of fun. Anyways, I'm happy that he's doing well. And, you know, being like a captain of a Liga team, good for him. He's having a good European career.
And speaking of European free agents, Patrick Alvin is reportedly a big fan of free agent Andre Kuzmenko. Have you watched this player? Because the Canucks are among many teams who have reached out to his agent, according to Rick Dhaliwal. 26-year-old Kuzmenko, 53 points in 45 games with St. Petersburg.
Have I watched this guy? He played for St. Petersburg. I obviously watched him play for SKA. He had a couple of games playing with on a line with Podkolzin. Like, remember when I would send out a tweet and it would be like, Podkolzin first line and everyone would go nuts and it was like, why is he like, it was so weird because he'd be like healthy scratch playing the fourth line and then it randomly like once every 2 months, Pod Colson would be a first line guy for Scott. He played with Kuzmenko in a lot of those situations. Like, Kuzmenko was the number one power play guy, the number one guy at 5-on-5 a lot of the time, always in the top six. And he's improved all 7 years that he's played in the KHL. He's 26 now, undrafted at the time, but he's gotten better and better. And like, man, this is a guy who skates really hard, always had like has a really high motor, and he needs to be because he's 5'11". He's not big, but he plays a winger, mostly left wing, but he skates super hard. He forechecks really hard. Like, you really liked, if you were just watching these Ska games and you weren't just watching Pod Colson, like, you would say, okay, this is another guy that would make a lot of sense. As he, I was saying that like 2 years ago, and now he's got the points to back it up, where he is likely going to come over to the NHL this year. On top of that, his agent is Dan Milstein, who is, you know, Russian super agent, also the agent of Danila Klimovich. So a little bit of a connection there. But I think it's like, I think it's something like the Toronto Maple Leafs have like four clients of Dan Milstein's. So like, it's not like the one Klimovich connection to Vancouver is even like that big of a deal, because like the Leafs have four of their players on their roster are Dan Milstein clients. He's got a lot of connections around the league, and he's probably, this is a spot where Milstein's going to be. You know, he doesn't get talked about as like a super agent, but for Russians, like, he's the perfect agent to like move you from the KHL to the NHL. He's going to get Kuzmenko the best spot to play, and it might end up being Vancouver. If it's like, if Kuzmenko's down to play in a bottom six role, especially on a team where it's like, I don't know what it looks like next year, but if you're putting out three centers of like Miller, Pod Colson, and Horvat, or Miller, Pedersen, and Horvat, maybe Kuzmenko is interested in that third line wing spot because he gets to play with like a JT Miller. And I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with trades, but I could see it happening. Like, there's a spot where Vancouver is a really good landing spot for him to get minutes and be a guy who can maybe contribute on a second power play unit, where it's not like anybody on the Canucks' second power play unit right now is sticking. So Kuzmenko would probably get a shot. I like him. And adding a guy who knows Pod Colson is a great situation to be in as well. There's not a lot of other guys from Ska that are making waves in the NHL just yet. This is a spot where he knows a guy, right? I think it would be really important for that. So there's probably going to be a lot of rumors moving forward here. And the KHL playoffs, like, just around the corner. So this is a guy who's going to join, like, this year. Like, when the KHL season's over, he's coming over.
And team interviews actually can't start until the KHL playoffs are over.
Yeah.
So something to keep an eye on for sure. Let's not play the Ham Hughes thing right now. I think it deserves a little more discussion. We're running out of time here. So let's talk about the Ham Hughes thing on Saturday's episode. We'll play that clip. Anything else before we close out?
You're the prospects guy. What else you got?
That's all I got on prospects.
Big weekend for Abbotsford. I'll talk more about that on Friday, but on Saturday's episode.
Yeah.
But they got a big weekend this weekend, playing against the Pacific leading Stockton Heat.
There you go. I knew that as the prospect guy. I knew that. For my co-host, Chris Faber, my name is David, the prospect guy, Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The playoffs are near, and we have an army. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Vancouver's playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup. Shop the exclusive We Have an Army playoff tee and more at nationgear.ca.